September 3rd, 2015 at 6 p.m. Has everybody taken a look at the minutes? If not, take a few minutes. Amanda has them right now. She can pass them around.
Motion to move on, Mr. Chairman.
That's second.
Motion made by Legislative Roberts, seconded by Legislator Warren. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried. Minutes accepted as written. We'll move on to the resolutions. Resolution number 331, establishing a public parking lot policy for the Ulster County Office Building. Mr. Perry, I'm sure you have some things you'd like to say on this resolution.
Well, I've long thought that the lower paid workers in the county deserve the same sort of parking privileges as those who have achieved different status. We lost two parking spaces outside. I witnessed many times people come in, they just find a shit and take off. It's a money issue. I think the minimum we could raise for the county coffers, not a lot of money in a $350 million budget, is $5,000 to $10,000 in additional revenue because they have choice spots. There's no other parking facility in the county, no other buildings where the employees have to pay or have reserved spots or anything else. People park. And I personally, when I was with the Board of Elections, I had a parking spot over in that county courthouse lot. I never once used it, but I didn't think I was entitled to it. I have this one here, and I've never once used it. I don't know why I should have one, or anybody else should have something reserved. First come, first serve. And by the lowest level paid person, doesn't have the same privileges as the others, is beyond me. I think it's fine we establish something, and if we're going to, I believe this parking space should really first be for our customers. Mm-hmm. Come off the street, they want to go to the motor vehicle, want to go to the tax department, want to go to the clerk's office, want to go to the legislature or the executive's office. So.
Any other discussion or comments?
Well, my only question here is, you know, we're getting into operations. We have free spots. We didn't lose two free spots. The only way we will have lost two free spots with the electronic cards is if somebody is pulled in there who's not using it and gets towed away based on the next resolution that's up. So, you know, you're in and out, and some of these jobs require people being in and out as they go about and be able to come back. I'm not sure why we're getting in the middle of the parking issue.
Right.
It's a challenge. It's operations. And
well, this is just a policy. I mean, those two spots down there are gone.
They're not gone. People can still use them and pull them.
They're not supposed to be parked there.
No, but they can, John. And the fact is that there is a plug that can go over two spaces to still be able to be plugged.
Okay, I'll just answer it. To me, it's an egalitarian type thing. I get my free parking spot. Why? Why shouldn't anybody else here get a free parking spot?
Legislator Warren. Yeah, the reason we have a problem about parking issue is because the legislature never wanted to spend the money to build the additional parking. That's the bottom line to this. Okay. The fact of the matter is, employees have always had an issue where they park, or, and that's just the way it goes. I mean, but I don't think going out and getting another four or five or six parking spots just to do it, it's going to make enough revenue. It's uncalled for. If you wanted to have additional parking, put a resolution in to build additional parking. And then everybody can park. I've seen how many people want to spend the money to do it. That's all.
Does it say, Ron, you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. I'm not on the committee. Thanks for indulging me, Chairman. I don't honestly know how I feel about this yet. I think it's good in ways. I think it's bad in ways. But I just want to say I think that it is policy. I don't see it as operations. We have a policy based on what happens in the parking lot, what spots should be for the public and what spots shouldn't be for the public. To me, that's a policy decision that we could make. Now, whether the executive wants to take on the signs or not is an operations thing. He could very well ignore our policy because it's not a local law. But I just, again, I don't know how I feel about it, in every way. I understand the chairman's points, and I understand Legislator Archer's points. I understand your points, but I definitely think it's policy, and it should be our policy decision on whether or not we want to do it.
I'll just point out that the Gary Courthouse, it used to be reserved sparks, parking, and folks collecting money, and they eliminated it. There are no reserved spots. There are signs that say reserved for judges, and they're ceremonial.
There's a reserve for the judges. You can't park
it's ceremonial. There's no tickets given. Nobody has the authority to give tickets over there, according to my police lieutenant.
Yeah, well,
it's sort of there to keep them away from the judge. But why should there be a sign for the chairman of the legislature or the controller or the executive or the anybody else?
The chairman of the legislature is a part-time job. The others are all full-time jobs.
So what?
They're here all day long.
What about the folks that listen, I don't want to argue with you. What about the folks working at Teller's downstairs?
What about them?
They're full-timers. They don't get a spot like that.
Like I said, put a resolution in to build additional parking.
That's not the issue.
It is the issue. You're telling me there's not enough parking.
Certain employees only get parking privileges in the county parking lot.
Why is that?
Quarter or...
Well, why is that, Ken?
Because
there's no parking. So if you want more parking, put a resolution in to build more parking. I mean, I find this, it's unnecessary.
And again, I don't think that the chairman is expecting that the county executive and county comptroller and the, the county clerk and everybody else park out on the street and feed the meter. I think he would just move into the employee lot adjacent to the public lot. So that's like two employee lots, one of which is owned by Kennebec.
If there's a parking spot available.
What's that?
If there's a parking spot available. That's what you're saying.
Would they be allowed to, are you suggesting that they would be allowed to
put? I'm not suggesting anything,
So
if they move to the employee spot, then you're taking away from any employees parking there now. So you're not fixing the issue. You're only creating more people, more employees in that employee lot not having a parking spot. I'm not sure why we're even looking at this.
My take on this, and Ms. Perry, with all due respect, I think a lot of you, and I have a lot of respect for you, I think this is a little bit of busting the horns, so to speak, tactic. Now, I've been here for 10 years. I work at my highway job. You go to town of Sorby's town hall, all the officials have their own parking spots. You come to the town of Sorby's highway department, the highway superintendent, the deputy highway superintendent, and their secretary have their own parking spots. I feel these kind of jobs, your job, the county clerk, the chief of staff, the county executive, there are certain perks even if you don't want to come to this job. And these people, in my opinion, whether it's Mike Klein or me or you, are very busy during the day. They have long schedules, got to get from point A to point B, point B to point C, a lot of coming back and forth. Do they really need that aggravation that every time they leave this building, come back and have to circle around, like an Indian circling the wagons, to find a parking spot instead of just going where we've got to go, get back in the building, and conduct their business. Me personally, if I was in one of those positions and this discussion was being taken place, I would be very aggravated.
Well,
and that's all my opinion.
To respond to that, consistency is very important. When I was with the Board of Elections, I parked down the plaza.
Well,
I didn't circle the block 7 or 8 times. I left it to the chauffeur or somebody going into the courthouse.
And that's your prerogative.
And I
would probably do the same thing too.
To have reserve signs when sometimes there'll be a full sign out there, and there's 4 or 5 openings right here, makes bad public relations, and it makes no sense.
Can I ask you this? Since you've been the chairman of the legislature, have you received any complaints from people coming in to the legislative in that parking lot complaining about those individuals that have their own sign? Have you ever gotten a complaint?
I've had mostly people who want to come and do business here who can't have to park on the street.
But those are the other tickets if they run 1 minute over.
I've gotten a ticket, and I've had to pull around the block, and it's just the nature of a filled lot when you have people here doing business. And so having said that, I think you said it best. I mean, I really think you zeroed in on, you know, the ability of people moving in and out of here day in and day out, and their job is to be all over the place, and not to have to then spend the time running around looking for a parking spot is a waste of time and effort. And so I think it's...
Nobody, I bet you I walk from here to Midtown.
No.
For parking.
I've done it. I've gotten it too because I ended up being here longer than
I
anticipated.
You accept it, you accept the job.
Yeah.
You know, it's just, it is what it is. And over 4 or 5 parking spots, I find it kind of ludicrous that we're sitting here spending a lot of time discussing it. I really don't.
Is there any further discussion on this issue?
Yeah, I'll pipe in too. Mr. Chairman, I do obviously respect your opinion and that for whatever that you guys think and talking, and I don't know if it's going to go anywhere. I get what you're trying to do. I think at this point, I think you accomplished what you needed to do. You were talking about it. And thank you for that.
Okay, you have a discussion. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to move this. Motion is made. So I guess at this point it's an issue. And we'll move on. Resolution number 332, establishing a policy for the use of electric vehicle charging stations on Ulster County property. Mr. Romp, I understand you have some things you are sponsoring this, I believe.
The chairman and I are sponsoring this together. I'm open to discussion on it, questions, concerns, thoughts.
We should have some kind of policy, I think.
That's fine. What do you want as a policy? First of all, I thought we were trying to promote, or aren't we trying to promote the use of electric cars? What exactly? I know we don't spend a lot of money. Let's talk about it. Tell me about your goals.
That's okay. My only question on these, and kind of along the lines of what Pete was saying, is that if you're trying to promote the use of electric cars, this just came live this year.
Yep. And I think there should have been a policy before we started installing these things all over God's creation, but there wasn't. So.
Well, I hear that, but you know, I always also think experience and having some time under your belt to understand what the issues are before you start to put a policy in place. You could potentially end up with unintended consequences because we don't even know what's going to happen here. The whole idea is try to promote. I mean, the feedback that I've been getting is that, you know, promoting not just the energy efficiency but also tourism. You know, there are apps where there are charging stations and people are using that. And I'm hearing that we are getting usage outside the county, you know, as a way of bringing people in. So before we go and put a policy in place, wouldn't it be great, because they are able to capture some data, to get some data under our belt to then say, okay, let's put a policy in place?
Well, I mean, part of this is, section 4, which is reporting, which would require that the legislature receive a report on the use of these, charging stations. The amount each electric vehicle spent charging, costs associated with the electric use, We could add other things, like, you know, is there a way we can tell where these people have come from? Is there a way we can capture that data?
Right.
So again, a lot of these things are things that if the installation of these sites had been brought to the legislature prior to putting a shovel in the ground, maybe we'd be in a different spot. But again, it's not.
And those were excellent questions because I asked the questions. And, you know, on average, we have most charges average less than an hour. And the cost is like 45 cents. From what I understand is that there's been quite a bit of out-of-state usage. So that's been a, you know, I don't know how much exactly.
Right.
You know, they're just starting to gather the data. But, again, before we start to, you know, then ticketing people or telling people and all that as required here, let's get some experience under our belts first.
I think Peter was next.
I can't answer that. Or?
No, well, that was the right question.
My answer to I guess to both of you, the whether it's premature or not, I don't think so. I think that a policy usually precedes the use of something. There's a policy for the use of, you don't start using something and then build a policy around how it's being used. You build a policy on how you would like them to be used prior to them being put into effect. That to me would be the way you would do a policy. I mean, I think that this policy, which requires that the spot only be used while you're charging, would encourage people to use it because you encourage people to use it and then get out of the way so somebody else can use it. It would encourage more use of electric vehicles and more use of the charging stations because they would be open. You know, you have a car that already said the average charge is less than an hour.
Mm-hmm.
The car is there for 4 hours. That's more charges that could happen.
I absolutely agree that we need to have some experience with this before creating a policy. I want to make two points. I want to reiterate what Legislator Archer said about the cost, because there's a lot of concern about how much electricity is being used, but a calculation was done and it is about 45 cents. So that 45 cents, I get 15 miles of electric vehicle usage. I don't want to get a free ride, but the fact is that if there was a charge, the county would then have to be charged a processing fee, and that processing fee would exceed the 45 cents that of value. They may charge me more. And the other thing I want to say is I had occasion this week to use the charging station at SUNY New Falls. And you have to be there right when it stops, which meant I had to leave a conference, pay $2 for a parking fee, you know, attend the conference and leave the conference to go unplug when there was nobody else using it. There were also two stations there. There was no one waiting. You know, I think we have to figure out how to do it in a way that makes sense, and I think that's going to take some experience. And so I haven't got my bill yet, but it's my understanding that because I stayed in the conference until it was over, that I will now receive a charge from ChargePoint for the extra time that it was plugged in after my battery was charged. It was a 3-hour conference, so nobody was waiting. It's early in the process. At some point, we may need to deal with that, but I don't think we're at that point yet.
I mean, number one, I'll respond to all those comments by saying that nothing in here is saying that we're going to charge for it. It says we may, if the county may, if it comes to that point, charge for it. But we're not advocating charging for it, although I am convinced still that 5 cents, 2 cents, 1 cent, 45 cents, it's an illegal gift. That's only available to a certain subset of the population. and an illegal gift is an illegal gift, whether it's $45 or 45 cents. That having been said, I understand I understand where the thought process comes from in not charging it because we have to pay a processing fee, which would likely be higher than the cost of the energy. But to me, it sets a dangerous precedent because we are giving what I am convinced is an illegal gift to a certain subset of individuals. But I've laid down my sword and shield on that one. I've just given it up. But that having been said, I think that if these things are there, that we should, as a legislature, have a policy for them. And I think that the policy should precede. I think the policy should have preceded the installation, and I don't think that we should wait an extended period of time before deciding to have a policy or waiting for the executive to write one up and pass it through the secret door over there. But if the legislature is not going to create policy and just wait for it to be handed to us or wait for the executive to give us all the data that he wants us to have to make a policy, I think that we should all just, get rid of the legislature and just go to an all-powerful executive.
Then may I speak first?
Please do.
I tend to agree with Legislator Ron on this on a couple of issues. Number one, I am at all supportive of this electric station that we have. We do have 9 of them throughout the county. I do agree with Legislator Ron. I feel that there should have been something at this magnitude now getting started. There should have been something in place as far as policy to start with. Now you have 9 of these things up. People can go to them, and there's really nothing as of we speak that guides this in any way. So even if it's a simple, I hate to leave here tonight without moving forward with some kind of guidelines to govern these stations.
We just talked about how there's not enough parking spots and what this law does. Let's say somebody is going into the DMV. The only spot left is the plug-in spot. They pull in there. They're going to get towed because they're in illegally. They're not an electric car and they're in a spot. I mean, it's those kinds of things that yes, you put discretion in the hands of the Ulster County, whoever that is.
The parking attendant, the sheriff's department.
Well, I just feel like at this juncture, in this new steps in the process, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not convinced this is the answer to that.
Legislator Rump?
To the same point, if somebody pulls, if the county executive spot is open and it's the last spot in the parking lot and somebody has to run in a DMV, if they pull in the Mike spot and Mike comes back, you don't think they're getting towed? I bet you they're getting towed.
Let's get some data on this. You know, this is the thing. We throw stuff out here and we don't get any information or data before we start to put the... So are they towed? Are they fined? What happens?
There's no policy.
Do they get a ticket?
There's no policy.
That's the point.
No, but even if someone pulls in through Mike.
Yeah, of course, if somebody does want to go in and get their car filled with
electricity
and the parking lot is full,
that's
you
wrong.
Can't get in. So, I mean,
and if there's two cars parked there,
and just there are 9 stations that may have
somebody told them to fill up, and
10,000 or 20,000 or 100,000,
there's 2 spots next to it, or somebody pulls out because it does. There is reach on those, of course.
I mean, hey, what if I pull in behind somebody who's parked there who's not charging with my electric vehicle charge? then they back into me. Is it my fault or their fault?
Let me say, Roberts. Ken, I'd like to thank you for bringing this forward, and I think it's a good plan. It may not be perfect, it may need some tweaking down the road, but until, I see something better, I'm going to support this, and nice job on it.
So I'd like to, if there's no other further discussion, I'd like to call the question. I'll entertain a motion to move it, if any.
I'll move it.
Motion made by Legislator Roberts to move it. Do I hear a second? I'll second it. Chairman Fabiano seconds the motion. Okay. All in favor, respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Okay. The motion is defeated. 3-2.
3-3.
3-2.
Chairman Zero, Chairman opposed.
We can vote. So it's still defeated. 3-3.
Yes.
Thanks for the Resolution number 349, authorizing the chairman of the Ulster County Legislature to enter into a lease agreement with Klein Professional Center for Offices of Ulster County Probation Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. Do you have anything on this, Jeff?
It's actually a renewal of,
put in your motion for discussion.
That's true.
No, I just wanted to make sure we don't start talking.
Yes, I said to you. Okay. Yeah.
What was the increase? I don't think there was one.
Oh, okay.
I think they did it for the same amount.
Oh, and 50%.
Okay. Yeah, there's no escalation.
No.
And the landlord provides everything.
No, I saw that.
Electric,
yep,
everything. So it's just so that we have location further south makes it a little bit easier for those who have to visit to get there.
Any other questions or comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion to move it.
So moved.
Moved by Legislator Lawrence, seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Resolution number 350 authorizes the Commissioner of the Public Works to execute intermunicipal agreements with various municipalities for the purpose of shared services across public works, highways, and bridges. Now, this, too, is an extension of what we've been doing, right? So a three-year deal with the cops should not be...
Well, do you mean the plowing and that?
Yeah.
No. What this is for, and I mean, you're probably well aware that we get in trouble, our cages been broken down, call one of the other highway supervisors, and then sometimes we borrow a piece of equipment, sometimes they send the operators with it and actually finish out the project. And we do that for other municipalities, too.
Right.
The problem is that when we need to do it, we need to do it now. You know, I mean, you're on the job, you're halfway through the project.
Right.
So we, as I said initially, I think every municipality does this on a regular basis, but people, particularly the county attorney, is a little concerned with liability because we don't have anything written that allows us to do that. We are allowed to do it under the law. But there's nothing that says who's responsible if the equipment breaks, who has to pay it, repair it, if someone gets hurt, who's responsible. So this is supposed to address that so that everybody knows who's responsible for what. And then this would keep track, which we don't do now either. You know what I mean? We don't write it down every time. We don't make a record.
So this is going to have to be done every time there's equipment shared or men shared with a tenant.
Right, and we, we'll do that at public works. But it just needs to be something.
Well, how do they come into it? How do they know that they're going to get a deal, that they're going to be protected?
They've sent me their resolutions and their I think everybody's trying to get to a place where everybody knows who's responsible, who's obligated.
Yeah. It's very new now.
It has to happen. I don't mean this. This is up to you guys.
Yeah.
I mean, what we're doing has to happen.
Okay.
It's just, if it's going to happen, it's better that it happens with some kind of understanding between the borrower and the lender. Right. So that's what this is for.
So their own town insurance will cover any damage to a vehicle when it's under their...
If they're operating it.
Right. And you've been doing it, but you've not been keeping track of it.
No, because it's kind of a one hand washes the other kind of thing.
Right. Yeah. And so does every town take advantage of it, and does every town know that this is available to them? Or
I'm pretty sure the answer to that is
that it's like the shared service.
Right.
When they come out here, two towns switch equipment, borrow equipment, send trucks to a job, send them to a job. There's really never been anything in writing with that all these years. They just kind of, you know, superintendent A calls superintendent B, tomorrow I'm better late.
Small town doesn't
buy
have
a ton of blacktops, but you send 10 trucks or something.
Yeah. Don't use it often enough to pay for it.
It makes sense.
Same thing with materials. You know, I know that we've supplied great big pieces of pipe.
Right.
Because it's hard to get at a decent price if you need it today.
Why not? Yeah.
Right. So if somebody has it, they, you know, you borrow it, and as soon as you can get it, you know, and shop around and get it for a decent price, you give it back.
As you're, you know, as you're now starting to keep track, can we, you know, just get a flavor for what activity is happening? Can you come back and report back to us on?
Yeah.
That would be helpful.
Yeah, that was all my only concern is that the 20 town highway superintendents are aware this is going on, that they don't call for something to borrow something from the county and then they get this laid on and all you guys can do.
Oh, you mean aware of well, I've gotten like four or five from the towns.
Okay.
So, you know, I'm trying to remember which ones they are.
Yeah,
but
that doesn't
Swan Gum, I think, was one and might have been Sorties, I'm not sure.
So they already are doing some
legislative.
So if this passes, it's you know, a good way to get this information to the towns and to the supervisors association.
Right.
Is it okay to hold?
I can hold it,
But my question is really, without the necessity of obtaining approval from the Ulster County Legislature prior to making each arrangement in the form modified and with the approval of the county attorney. Does it have to go to the legislature now? Because I thought there was no policy.
Well, any intermunicipal agreement has to be signed by the chairman of the legislature.
Okay,
so it has to be brought before the full legislature to authorize the chairman to sign, and then he can sign it. And like I said, our paper was down for like 5 weeks. We finally got it back, and they had it out yesterday and part of today, and something else on it broke. So I think the town of Ulster came and helped us out. But, you know, we don't have anything in writing that says, you know, if they come and help us, that, you know, if something goes wrong on the job, who's responsible? And that's what this is supposed to cover. And this would put something in place. It's really a risk. You know, it really addresses risk.
So at the end of the day, this really protects both parties.
Yes. Yes, it does.
The town
yes,
and
But you didn't really answer legislator's question. Her question is that in what happened in the past, it came to the legislature for sign-off when equipment or no?
No, it's been an undocumented kind of process.
Right.
That formalizes the
what goes on.
Yes, and otherwise, I mean, for as often as you do it, and they can't wait for the legislature to need to sign off on it. Okay, I got it. I think
the sharing of services and equipment and personnel is becoming more common because things are getting much more expensive.
Right.
So when you could work together like that, it keeps costs way down.
Mm-hmm. It does serve the taxpayers.
It does serve the taxpayers fully.
Okay, thank you.
If there's not any other discussion on this, I'll entertain a simple, all right, legislator Lauren Moulton, second by legislator Archer, all in favor, all opposed?
I need more time on this. I need to think through the idea. I'm just wondering what that does to other, is this a precedent in terms of other intermunicipal agreements? So I hate to be a no, but, you know, this is the first time I'm thinking about this, and I really want to understand the implications. It'll go to other committees. I'll have a chance to think through it.
Yeah.
But for now,
this may reassure you somewhat. This is all pursuant to Section 34 of the Highway Law. It allows the highway superintendents to loan and borrow equipment and materials. And you can look at that.
Okay.
I don't think you're going to find that in other areas of the law where it's going to allow. Our charter says intermunicipal agreements have to be signed by the chairman of the legislature. This is one small exception pursuant to a section of highway law. And the law is there because everybody recognizes that it really is a necessity. You know, it's how things keep getting done. But, I mean, you satisfy yourself, but the sections of the law that it references, one is the city, so because we do this with the city of Houston as well, and the sections I think I put in the resolution. Yeah, 133, 35, and 42D of the highway law, and 20, subsection 31 of general city law. I thought it was 134, I'm sorry, but anyway, if you look at that, you'll see it's a limiting thing.
You know, we started to do this, as I'm trying to say, we just did it last month, but under the equipment loan agreement, where you have records and reports that are maintained and which will be captured for the town, I mean, maybe that's where we put something in this agreement that says, and a copy of which will be shared quarterly with Public Works, which doesn't mean you have to come back for approval, but what it means is within the body of the equipment agreement, we put that, you know, those records will be, a copy of the quarterly report will be submitted to Public Works.
I don't have final say on contracts anymore,
We should hold the vote to see that gets in here before.
I mean, I don't have a problem with it because if we're going to keep the records,
you're keeping the records anyway, and maybe this will satisfy what Nana was concerned about, but that we can ensure we're getting our regular reporting on it.
And I strongly support what goes on. I saw it for 8 years on the town board, and, you know, that kind of sharing and lending and borrowing, it's what keeps the whole system working and that kind of cooperation. It's not about that. I'm just a little concerned, and I think if we could make that modification,
I think it should be in the resolution, not the agreements between us and the other town. They don't have any responsibility.
Right.
Well,
I understand, but I mean, I think that, you know, so maybe that's in the resolve where it says it's not coming back here, but you know, quarterly or semi-annual, whatever is the easiest and the best way to capture the data. I mean, if it's not a lot of activity or it's probably more during the summer months than in any other time, right?
Yeah, because when you're plowing, there's nobody left to ask help you.
Yeah. So why don't we pass this tonight and we'll get together before our next regular session meeting with the addition in that resolution,
okay.
And we'll have a meeting to pass it as a committee.
Okay.
Can we just make an amendment now?
Now?
Yeah. What you want is like a six-month report, am I correct?
Right.
Oh, okay, we can do that now.
Just so there's still a connection with the legislature.
Right.
Natty, would you happen to have the language that we used, that Lynn's referring to previously?
It was in the actual contract. This was on the Ellenville
Million.
It wasn't in the
resolution.
But I think it should go in
here. And it could go right after county attorney, however, that should be quarterly.
Well, or something without necessary approval of the legislature prior to making the eventual arrangement
in the form that's modified.
With quarterly.
Does it have to be quarterly?
Or semi-annual. Is that best?
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. With semi-annual
reporting, or, you know, with the approval of the county and, okay, so maybe that's where it goes. Arranged in the form of,
yes,
by the approval of the county attorney. And with, well,
yes, excuse me, Legislator Archer.
Yes.
You go ahead.
I just got a quick question. Can't this information just be provided on a simple request?
I don't know why not.
I'm just saying, it's a simple request. We can ask, you can ask for them to give you the information at one of these meetings.
I don't mean to be disrespectful, but I've asked in other committee meetings for information every single month for the last year and have not had it answered. So
okay.
I would prefer, I mean, yes, when I call and quietly ask information, I get it, but if this is what it's going to take to make sure we get it, I don't want to, you know,
okay.
Create
an uproar. If you've been in the past, that's fine.
Yeah.
I just thought it would be just as easy.
If you want to do that, I think the best way to do it is put and it is further resolved that copies of the...
Oh, that's our attorney here.
Well, copies, what are these things called? The equipment material loan records will be provided to the legislature.
A consolidation, because I don't want to get a stack of...
Well, I think that's what we're going to get, because I'm, you know what I mean? I don't think we're going to take this information and put it in some kind of spreadsheet. We're trying to, you know, be more efficient. I had no plans to...
Well, how do you know then, as far as when you're looking at it from a performance perspective, when you're looking at the additional wear and tear on your equipment, I mean, how do you even assess what you're doing in a program if all you have are these individual forms and no consolidation and review of it?
Well, my answer to that, and I'm new at this, would be that we have to do it. Somebody needs our help, and we're able to give them the help with the equipment and the manpower that we have.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to do that. So even putting all of this together and finding out, well, the town of Ulster is helping us more than we're helping them. It doesn't matter. We still have to help them. They're still going to come and help us if they have the available.
I think this agreement is basically more to protect the equipment. If they're using it,
well,
they damage it.
No, I get it.
Can I raise this, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
You know, I get what the legislator Orchard is trying to do and you know, and legislator Green, but to me, you know, this is operational. You guys are doing it. Do I need to see it a year from now? No. I you know, it's your business. You guys do it. I don't need to micromanage what you guys are doing. So, you know, I kind of agree with Legislator Lauren, you know. Do we need it? Probably not.
I'm not trying to put some cards here.
I personally think that we don't need it. But I've been around
Think?
Long enough to know and to see what goes on. I mean, I've been doing this for like 36 years, and it's just sometimes it's run of the flow. And it's, you know, I think that the resolution is fine in the form that it is.
Yeah, the red flag for me is specifically saying without the necessity of approving of the legislative approval. And we have a lot of different things that we're thinking about, and by making it a semi-annual report, we have something to look at, and if there's some question that requires policy or a change in policy, we have an opportunity to think about it. And I think that's the purpose of the reports. You know, I certainly approve shared services. I just, I think it's a slippery slope. And in terms of evaluating, you know, the direction of flow, we just heard a discussion with a concern about a 45-cent electric charge, and this could end up being really thousands and thousands of dollars that maybe there needs to be some, you know, when it's a loan, it's a borrow, and you replace it, that's fine. But if in a given season there is a lot of help in one direction and not in another, and that doesn't balance out over time, and I think we need to think about that in terms of budget. So, you know, I that's why I would like to have...
I'm going to do it. I'm going to ask for a motion to accept this resolution as written.
I think we already signed it.
Yeah. I'm usually going to
do that. All in favor? Aye. All opposed? Motion carried.
This can still be amended if I come up with, even in the annual report, it specifically summarizes the shared services that have
been amended on the floor.
Okay.
Resolution number 354, setting a public hearing on proposed local law number 16 of 2015, a local law amending local law number 1 of 1986, a local law to prohibit soliciting, peddling, or vending on any county-owned property to allow for the use of county-owned and leased building space by veterans and disabled members of Volta County to be held on Wednesday, October 14th, 2015, at 6:15 p.m.
I'll move it.
I'll second it.
Discussion? I remember when this was
going. This is only just scheduled public hearing.
Yeah, no, I know.
Probably about
had
the coffee cart there
today. Oh, this is the hot dog cart. That is when they were going to
PR show. Because there used to be a guy downstairs in this building that had like a coffee.
But I believe we spent like 2 hours on the discussion of a hot dog cart, whether or not they should be able to sell it on the property. And then $10 million to build it, but was done in 30 seconds.
Right.
Priorities.
The big thing.
The motion was made by Legislator Lawrence. Seconded by Karen Zadnyal. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? No, she left. She had to leave.
Oh, okay.
6:45. She had called you earlier, so let me know. Resolution number 355, establishing a policy for use of county-owned and leased building space by veterans and disabled members of the county.
Any
discussion? Any question?
I think it's a very wise move.
Yes,
it
is.
Without time.
Yep. Okay. Huh? Vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carried.
Town Councilman Cindy Delgado from the town of Plattsburgh gave me a call about, I'd say, a month ago. She was at the end of Plattsburgh Argonia Road, which is a county road. It runs into 4455, which is a state highway. Where she got in a minor accident pulling out of there only because she had limited sight distance on the left-hand side where the white line is, the stop. If you're there, you cannot see. The owner of the property on the left-hand side has overgrown hedges, weeds. There's also a telephone pole there. I called
County Executive, Deputy County Executive Bob Sudlow twice on it. He did say he was going to have his team look at it. I don't know if they just drove by and waved at it or not, but I don't see anything that was changed or if there was anything that can be changed.
Ardonia Road at 4455?
Platicula
Ardonia Road, yeah.
Oh, Platicula Ardonia Road.
Yeah.
Is that 4455, is that state road?
That's a state highway.
I think I recall from one discussion, it wasn't about this area, but another place was 209 and something, County Road, that if there's an intersection that a county road intersects a state road, the state is responsible for the intersection. Now, if it's about clearing on our right-of-way, you know, that's something that we could take care of, but if it's something about the intersection that it needs a traffic light or something of that nature, that's different.
I don't think it needs a traffic light. I think it just needs some adjustment. I don't think we're capable or want to start moving telephone poles, but I think some of the brush and overgrowth needs to be removed, and, you know, I think that could be done easily.
I can talk to Joe about it.
But I don't know if it's a county issue or a state issue.
Yeah. Well, if the overgrowth is on our right-of-way, if it's along the county road and it's on our right-of-way, we can go in and cut it back.
Now, if it's on the state right-of-way, how do we go about getting them to help us out?
I think you'd have to call the regional DOT office in particular.
I'd have that number for you.
Would that be something I would do, or is that something that might get more weight if the county highway department did it?
I don't know the answer to that because I haven't had that experience, but I certainly could. Yeah, I'll have Joe check it. I can tell you he's not going to be here until Tuesday.
That's fine. It's been a while. And, if you can coordinate with myself, I wouldn't mind. If I have to call, I will. If you guys could do it,
I'll find out.
Did you say you're wrong?
Thanks. I just have a quick question just based on that. How far from the edge of the road does the right-of-way usually extend? Because in some of these cases I've run into, we've had issues where it's been a private property issue where we can't clear brush if it's on the private property.
I'm not sure it's from the edge. It's from the center line.
It's from what they call the center pin, which is in between the two yellow lines, and it's 25 feet in each direction.
Okay.
That the county would be responsible for.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Dean.
Yep.
Now, why is this that intersection with state? State also probably has 25 feet on the same.
I don't know.
Probably.
Yeah. Maybe 30 feet. I don't know. The roads are probably bigger.
And some of them, it depends. Like over on Route 209, there's a double right of way, but there's only one road lane. There's two road lanes, but one in each direction. But the double right of way, so there's another road lane, and then out from there.
Anybody have any other new world business? If not, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion made by Legislator Warren, seconded by Legislator Green. All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much. And we're done tonight.
Brunswick Road and Sean Gump, where the Jehovah's Witnesses are, and it's a county road too, but it's private property. Yeah.
It's, I know that we are not as clearing things like that as we would normally be, so because of all the bathing that's going on and drinking, we have to let everybody out and
back out. And thank God.
But when people bring it to our attention, we try to go and do it.
Thank God it's dry, because otherwise it's everything would be way over for me.
I know, but I'd like
to do it. Adios. See you, Gavin.
Yes. I just want to say, we met with a man, he came to Climate Club when we met to miss it.
I hope you feel better.
I think she answered all of the questions. She came here.
Right.